Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, again, we're starting here with inner strength. And I'm going to do a quick review. If you remember a couple weeks back, we talked about, I kind of likened us having a strong spirit to core strength. And if you recall, we brought Neil up here for us, and he just did a great job demonstrating a perfect back squat for us. He had great form. And I told you about how I went to a CrossFit actual conference, and they were talking about how that one of the ways that you know that somebody has weak core muscles is, hey, Neil, there you are right there. Hey, how's it going? As they're coming up out of the squat, right, their back will kind of collapse like this, right? They'll just collapse under the weight, especially as you add that load to it. And we liken that to today, how that if you and I, if we don't have a strong spirit, as the pressure, as the strain of the world increases, right, we are going to collapse. And Paul talks a little bit about this. We were saying how we've seen many Christian artists, Christian ministers, some famous authors come out and say they've turned their back on the faith. And Paul addresses this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. It's in your notes there in the message. He says, the Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. These liars have lied so well and for so long that they've lost their capacity for truth. In verse 6 through 10, he says, you've been raised on the message of the faith, the Bible, and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Here's where it gets to the part I like. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. So if you look there at the top of your notes, we got to fill in the blank there. The big idea for this entire message for the last 3 weeks, as you walk away with, is this, is that in the same way we need a strong spirit so that we do not collapse under the strain and pressure of the world. In Ephesians 3, verse 16, the Moffat translation, Paul says again, we pray praying to him out of the wealth of his glory to grant you a mighty increase of strength by his spirit into your inner man. That's your spirit man. And so we talked a little bit about how our spirit can be educated just like the mind, right? It can be strengthened up just like our body. It doesn't happen instantly, but it takes time. And then we gave four points here. How do you strengthen the spirit? Number one is meditation in the word. Number two is practicing the word. And number three is giving the word first place, which we're going to cover tonight. And then number four, by instantly obeying the voice of your spirit. So I just want to thank you for sticking with me throughout this. I've talked to several of you, and the number one comment I keep getting is, Daniel, this has been real challenging. Has it been challenging for anybody? Challenging, right? And I just want, just like a regular gym, you guys so graciously agreed to let me be your spiritual trainer, right? You remember that, right? I encourage you to stick with it, meditating in God's word each day. It's a discipline. They call these spiritual disciplines. But you know what? Just like Paul said here, you can count on this. It's gonna make you fit both today and forever, right? So number one, meditation in the word, we talked about that. How many of you have been meditating in God's word 10-15 minutes a day? You guys still doing that? You're still doing it. You're in it. Awesome. You're getting stronger because of it, right? Okay, so what I'd like for you to do, we did it last week, is take just a couple minutes, look over at your neighbor, and tell them two things. First off, the passage of scripture that you've been reading and meditating on, right? Because meditation is different from reading, right? And then what you got out of that passage of scripture, okay? All right, so on the count of three, here we go. One, two, three, go. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel good? I was telling the staff today in staff training that there's an old evangelist back in the 1800s into the early 1900s. His name was Billy Sunday. And he won all kinds of people to the Lord. He was like the Billy Graham of his time. And after he got born again, he said an older man came up, put his arm around him and said, "Billy, do you know how that you will never backslide? You want me to tell you how you can never backslide? You'll never fall back in the world." And Billy said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, number one," he said, "take 15 minutes a day to listen to God. Number two, take 15 minutes a day to talk to God. And then number three, take 15 minutes a day to talk about God to someone else." And he said, "If you do those three things, Billy, guess what? You will never backslide." Well, that's what you guys are doing first off right there when you're sharing what God has spoken to you through his word. And then when you spend time in here, right, you're actually listening to God. This is God's word to us. He may not speak to us audibly, but he's speaking to us through the scripture every day. Amen? All right, so number three, we're going to jump into give the word first place. Give the word first place. When we talk about giving the word first place, what we're saying is that we're making God's word final authority. Everyone say final authority. We're making God's word priority. Everyone say priority. If you look here in Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22, the wisest man who ever lives, he's talking to his son, and he has this to say about the Bible. He says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." A lot of people today, when you talk about the Bible, they like to talk about it as just kind of a book of rules, but it's not. They like to talk about it as a book of warnings or warning labels, but it's not. The Bible is a manual for you and I to live our best life. Everyone say our best life. The life that God intended for you. It's so much more than warning labels. And as I was studying for this message, funny, this little thing came up on the internet about stupid warning labels. Have you guys ever seen that before? About stupid warning labels? These are actual warning labels that have been put on products. I'm going to read some of them to you. But I began to think about this. You know, if there's a warning label for it, it means that somebody actually did these things, which is scary, Steve. That's crazy. Okay, so here's a warning label for a Vidal Sassoon hairdryer. There's a warning on it that says, "Do not use while sleeping." How do you use a hairdryer while sleeping? Got any idea? Okay, when you get revelation on that, email me. Okay, on the iPod Shuffle, there's a warning tag inside of it that says, "Warning, do not eat the iPod Shuffle." Okay, here's one that was found on an iron, right? "Warning, do not direct steam at people or animals or iron your clothes while being worn." Okay, they get better. Okay, on a box of Black Cat fireworks, you know what those are, right? It says, "Warning, flammable, do not put in mouth." Okay, on a Razor golf cart, you know those little golf carts, little things that Razor makes, their battery, you ride in them. It says, "Warning, this product moves when used." And then the funniest one I saw was, there is a child-sized Superman costume, and this is for real. The label actually said, "Warning, wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly." But the Bible is so much more than a book of silly warnings and just rules. God knows the exact life, the best life, the abundant life that you and I are to live as his children. And when you and I follow these rules, when we make it first place, we can live that life. And in this verse here, look here at the end, verse 22 of Proverbs 4, it says, "It's life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." This is the wisest guy in the world. This isn't just a set of rules he's telling his son. He's saying, it's actual life and health to your flesh. So much, you would be surprised how much is really dependent on the health and the strength of your spirit. Did you know that for a lot of people, health is dependent on the strength of their spirit? You know, for a lot of people, like how long, which we're talking about now, they last in the battle. It's all dependent on the strength of your spirit. Solomon knew this. And he said, if you want health for your flesh, you want life, you got to make it first. Look at what he says in verse 20. I like this. He says, my son, attend to my words. Everyone say, attend. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Everyone say, incline. This word attend is pretty interesting to me because, for instance, let's just say, I don't know, Neil and I were going to a Lakers game or something like that. Neil and I are going to a Lakers game. We're on our way there, and we're getting ready to walk in to watch LeBron and everyone. And as we go in, he gets a phone call from Kim. Kim's his wife, okay? And so he gets a phone call from Kim, and he says, hold on a second, Daniel. I need to attend to this first before we go into the Lakers game. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever heard someone say that before? I need to attend to this first, right? And that word there, attend, basically, he's saying is God's word has to be most important. When Neil says that to me, he's saying, Daniel, the Lakers game is fun. It's awesome. But what Kim has to say is much more important. Amen? The Lakers game is going to be fun. I have a desire to do that, but everything changes when Kim calls. Does that make sense? So we attend, and then incline, right? That means putting some effort. It actually has the picture of us bending over, bending our posture and our stature to the weight of the Word of God. So what he's saying there is we have to make God's Word the most important. So how do we do this? I gave each and every one of you this little thing right here. You see that? This little bookmark, or you can put it on your mirror, whatever. But I appreciate Macy made this for us out of the creative arts, but it says, what does God's word say about this? And what, did you guys get one? I see people looking around. No. Raise your hand, an usher can bring one to you. All right. But what does God's word say about this? This is the question. If we're going to put God's word first, if we're going to make it final authority, this is the question we need to be asking ourselves all the time. What does the word say about this? How does the Bible answer this question? A long time ago, Dad always used to say whenever people would come to him wanting prayer for something, Dad would say, you need to find a scripture about that. You need to find a scripture for that and stand on it. Have you heard that before? What he's saying was making God's word final authority. Now, whenever you and I go about getting strong, it always starts with a couple things. First off, it always includes this, is that you and I have to start doing some things in the natural, and we have to stop doing some things, right? So, that might mean maybe you need to start taking a walk or doing some more exercise, right? Or just adding some more vegetables to your diet, right? And then if you're going to get healthy, you're going to have to stop some things, which is maybe, I don't know, eating pancakes 3 times a day or something like that. Or sugar cereal. How many like sugar cereal? I love all the different cereals. And but you're going to have to start some things and you're going to have to stop some things. Now, I have a coach who I gave him some goals that I had for CrossFit, for competition and that type of thing. So what he did was he actually created some guidelines that I have to follow whenever I sit down to eat. So it's like how many grams of protein, what kind of quality of food, how many grams of carbs, you can't eat this, you can't eat processed food, you can't do that. So I have a little app on my phone, right? It's called My Fitness Pal, and he put all these numbers in there. Then every time I sit down to eat, I have to enter everything that I eat in that phone to make sure that it fits within the guidelines. So if I want to get fit and strong, right, I have to follow his guidelines. I have to pull out that app. Man, this burger looks awesome. This fries, the shake. Wait a second, that doesn't fit within my numbers. And then you said, well, if I want to be strong, I can't do what I want. I got to follow the guidelines my coach put in this app. Does that make sense? So in the same way, if you and I want to be strong spiritually, we have to ask ourselves first, what does the Bible say about this? How does this fit the guidelines that God has given me? Is what I'm about to do, the way that I just reacted, the stuff that I'm watching on TV, the friends that I'm hanging with, what does God's word say about this? That's what it means to put God's word first. So everyone say, what does God's word say about this? Okay, let's say it with a little more emphasis. What does God's word say about this? Right, so 56% of Americans believe that God's word is divinely inspired, but only 19% of Americans read it daily. So very few Christians, right, even the ones that are reading daily, are actually living, making this first and foremost in their life. So what I'd like to do here is, if we could, real quickly, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. Again, Paul, look what he says about God's word. He says, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed. Everyone say, every part. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another. It shows us truth. Everyone say, shows us. It exposes our rebellion. Everyone say, exposes. It corrects our mistakes. Everyone say, corrects. And it trains us to live God's way. Everyone say, trains. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. So by making this word first, we're going to get spiritually strong. By making it priority, by making it final authority, so that we can stand in the worst of times. What are some things that we can mistakenly make the final authority in our life? Number one, culture. Culture. How does this work, Daniel? Well, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll begin to not follow this and make this final authority in our life and ask this, what does God's word say about things? We'll begin to ask ourselves, what does the culture say is right or correct? I just heard about a brand new book that came out. This is how this works. It's on prayer, written by a secular woman. She's not saved, but it's a very popular book, right, on prayer. And she's got three great points in there, three amazing points that'll help you live a fulfilled, peaceful, happy life if you include these in your prayer. She says, the first kind of prayer you need to have is the help prayer, which is, someone help me. The second type of prayer is the wow prayer, like, that's amazing. And then thanks, right, gratitude, the thanks prayer. She goes on to say that it doesn't really matter what God, or if you're even praying to a God, the point is that you're going through this cathartic, therapeutic act of prayer. So, if you read something like that, and you don't make this final authority, you can start to get messed up. Let me ask you, does that line up with what does God's word say? It doesn't, right? God said, you shall have no other gods before me. Isn't that right? So, you see it in culture, schools, what our schools teach sometimes, what we see on cable news networks. Some people, they just, well, my political party acts this way, so I'm going to act this way. Are you asking yourself, what does God's word say about it? Next, feelings or desires. Feelings or desires. I thought this was interesting, Neil. Neil's over our millennial ministry. So they did a study on millennials, and they found out that millennials' prayers today are including three things whenever they pray, most millennials' prayers. They're including thanksgiving, they're including adoration, and they're including supplication. Do you guys know what those are? Supplication means they're asking God for things. And then the next thing, adoration, you know, they're praising God. And then the next is gratitude, is thankfulness. But the one thing that I found interesting was they said that their prayers, most millennials' prayers in the United States today, never include repentance. So this study went on to say that it's very interesting that, you know, 1 John 1:9, that says that we need to ask every day for God to forgive us. We look in God's word and we see the places we need to adjust, we see need to change. We're seeing that today, the culture that's coming up, they're not seeing into that. They're looking for a God who makes them feel good, a God who agrees with them, a God who answers their prayers, a God who's if he gives me what I want, then I'll serve him. He's kind of like Santa Claus. And if he doesn't answer, then I'm not going to follow him. They've made their feelings or desires the final authority in their life. Well, I don't really, this Bible's kind of old and out of date. Like I told you, I had a millennial a couple weeks ago tell me that we need a new Bible. I mean, and there again, what does God's word say about that? We're not to add to or take away from God's word, right? Amen? But again, they're just wanting, it doesn't line up with my feelings or desires, so I'm not going to follow it. And if we don't watch it as a church, we'll begin to go that way. Hebrews 4, verse 12 in the New Living Translation says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." That's what I love about God's word, is you can have this prayer all set to go, and you get reading God's word, and then God just illuminates something and it convicts your motive. Like your motive is totally wrong. Anybody ever experienced that before? That's what God's word does for us. Dad tells this crazy story one time in the early times of the church when he said he had someone come up to him and say, "Pastor, God told me in my prayer time that I was to divorce my wife and I was supposed to marry somebody else who was married in the church." Now, how many know? What had they made final authority? Their desires, their feelings. And how many know that's not going to cause you to last if you do that? Number three, a couple things that we could sometimes take as final authority is doctor's reports, right? We love doctors. We got doctors at our church. But how many know it's not the final word? You get a bad report from the doctor, it says there's no hope for you. This is the final authority. Thank you so much. I'll do what I can, but I'm going to believe God, right? Find a scripture and stand on what does God's word say about it? Next, family members. Some of you have made what your parents, your grandparents, your aunt and uncles have said about you, those bad things. You've made that final authority. You're just destined to live this life, all this crazy stuff they said about you. But how many know? You need to ask yourself, what does God's word say about that? He says you're more than a conqueror. He says you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. So we are going to ask ourselves, we're going to put God first. We're going to ask ourselves, what does God's word say about this? Now let's jump on real quick to Psalms 1. We looked at this a little bit last week, 1 through 6. The Living Bible. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice. Now, again, this whole thing right here is what we're talking about, is that you see here that David is actually comparing and contrasting somebody that makes God's word final authority versus somebody who actually goes to the world for advice or hangs out with people that are bitter and goes to them for advice, okay? So here we go. So, oh, the joys of those who do not follow evil men's advice, who do not hang around with sinners, scoffing at the things of God, but they delight in doing everything God wants them to. And day and night are always meditating on his laws and thinking about ways to follow him more closely. I love that. They are like trees along a riverbank, bearing luscious fruit. I mean, we're supposed to be bearing fruit, good fruit, right? Each season without fail. Their leaves shall not wither, and all they do shall prosper. But for sinners, what a different story. They blow away like chaff before the wind. They are not safe on judgment day. They shall not stand among the godly. For the Lord watches over all the plans and paths of the godly men, but the paths of the godless lead to doom. Now, I want to show you this verse in the message. Psalms 1, verse 6, it says, God charts the road you take. The person that put God's word first, God charts the road you take. When you and I listen to all these other things, culture, feelings, desires, What the world's saying, they're charting the road your life takes. But when you and I make this our final authority, you got some great things ahead of you. A couple years back, Dad and Stephen and I, we took another guy's trip. We were going out to Mammoth Lakes, California, out there in the Eastern Sierra Mountains. And we didn't know where we were going or what we were doing. But we got a hotel, and we were kind of looking through books, trying to figure out the hike that we would go on. We were planning on going hiking. And we were eating breakfast one day, and our waiter came over, and he looked like this kind of X Games dude, you know, California, prototypical type guy. And he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? And we're out here hiking, you know, we're from St. Louis. And he's like, oh, that's awesome. He's like, have you planned what you're going to do yet? And we said, no, we have no idea. We were planning on doing this and maybe going there. He's like, no, man. Let me help you guys out. And he disappears. We find out later he's one of those guys that, like, jumps off cliffs with parachutes on his back and all this stuff. But he comes back, and he brings a topical map. Like, we're talking serious, you know. And he's got his pencil and all this stuff, and he says, no, what you guys need to do is you need to take this. This is a trail to Lake Edisa. He says, 16 miles. It's beautiful. You're going to see stuff you've never seen before. And so he charted it all out for us. It was 8 miles out and 8 miles back, right? And so Dad and Steve and I went, and then we got out there, and we were just blown away. I brought some pictures to show you guys. I don't know. There's one right there. It looks like a postcard, doesn't it? That was just on my phone. I think we got some more, too. Yeah, there's Dad with the grandkids. But what the point being was, if Dad and Steven and I tried to chart that on our own, or if we got the wrong guide, we would have never saw those views like that. We would have never saw those amazing things, those life-changing moments, those mountains, those lakes, and everything like that. We probably would have, I don't know, took a little trail to a quick trip or something like that. But the point is, we had the right guide. And when you and I make God's word first, this whole chapter here is that's what it's about, listening to this over anything else. When we do that, God charts the road you take. Say that. God charts the road you take. How cool is that? So here we go. When you make God's word final authority, it's in your notes, you're following his perfect path for your life. His perfect path for your life. How many want to follow God's perfect path for your life? Number four, I'm going to go a little longer here. Sorry, Dad. But number four, I'm going to quickly go through this on how to have a strong inner strength, right? Strong spirit so we can last. Number four is this, by instantly obeying the voice of your spirit. Now, I say this for last, right? Because all the other three feed into this right here. 1 Peter 3, verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That hidden man of the heart is your spirit. We're made of spirit, soul, and body. Do you guys know that? You have a spirit. When you got born again, that was the part of you that became brand new, right? The outside of you didn't really change, but the inside is all brand new, right? That's what we're talking about here. We hear that voice of our spirit a lot of times through our conscience, right? An intuition. A hunch. And in Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you and I, he's going to talk through your spirit. So that's why it's so important that you and I are putting the right things, the right fuel, if you will, into our spirit. Because if not, we're not going to be able to hear the Lord. Our spirit is going to actually come up with crazy things. Opposite things. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle, Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. When you and I begin to put the right fuel in, our spirit becomes a true guide. In these end times when there's so much confusion and so much chaos, in Isaiah it says you're going to hear a voice behind you telling you the way to walk. The Holy Spirit's going to talk to you because you've been putting the right stuff in. when you hear some weird things that maybe just don't seem to line up, or maybe someone comes up to you that you really don't have a verse to stand on, says, hey, you know, maybe they want to strike up a relationship with you, you have that still small voice on the inside that says, I might watch that. That's that spirit. That's the true guide. And that's what's going to help you last in these days. Dad tells this story one time of how there's all these, this one really famous evangelist came in here to church and said, Pastor, we want you to take some of the church's savings and invest it in this scheme we got. It's going to be amazing. All these churches are making all kinds of money on this. They're paying off their buildings. They're sending missionaries around the world. They're hiring all kinds of staff. I mean, it's like, get rich quick. And all of Dad's friends, a lot of them weren't their dad, were all doing it. But Dad, he prayed about it, and he listened to that still, small voice, the voice of his spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And you know what happened? A couple years later, all those ministries lost all that money. It was a Ponzi scheme. This guy took all these people for money. A bunch of these churches went under. Evangelists, it was a complete mess. Dad would have fell if he wouldn't have been listening to the voice of his spirit. So again, Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of the man is the candlelord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So I'm going to end right there. In conclusion, we know that if we're going to last in these times, we have to have a strong spirit. And it takes effort. Everyone say effort. It takes hard work. I got a motivated spiritual gym here. Hard work, right? It's not just going to happen. It takes time. Just like you get into the gym, and man, it's rough the first time, right? Man, when you haven't done lunges in like 20 years, you hear all that stuff ripping in your, right? But if you keep doing it, it's going to get easier. And it's the same way. If you and I make it a point to be disciplined with God's word, meditating on it, everyone say meditating. Practicing it, right? And then making it first place. And guess what? We're going to listen to our spirit, and we're going to be able to stand in these last times. Amen?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're a part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.